This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Wanted to check in with Congressman Peter DeFazio as the August recess of Congress continues. Congressman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks. Appreciate the opportunity, as always.
Well, at the front end, talk about Afghanistan. A lot of concern about the situation. We're just out of the deadline for the U.S. pulling out. What are your thoughts about this Afghanistan situation?
Well, look, I mean, Trump negotiated with the Taliban a May 1st withdrawal. Biden extended it till September 1st or August 31st. But the Biden people could have better used that extension, certainly. I don't understand why they abandoned the Bagram Air Base in favor of trying to transport people out of the civilian airport, Bend to Bagram. That is totally defensible. And a bunch of other things. I mean, recent documents have come out that the Pentagon brass have been lying to us for over 15 years about the capabilities of the Afghan force, which obviously is very apparent after they all just lay down their arms. I guess at this point, I'd say they're doing the best they can with a bad hand and bad circumstances, but Congress needs to investigate. And we're already, two of our committees are already talking about investigating how this all happened try and learn from our mistakes.
Now, one of the things that's come up, and I guess maybe I've heard about it more over the weekend, is how much gear the U.S. is leaving behind, vehicles and a lot more. Now, I've heard some reports say this is all useful equipment. I've heard some say that it was things that were being discarded. But all of that now going into, at least available to the Taliban to take it and use it.
Well, the U.S. forces didn't leave behind any critical material, but we had spent tens of billions of dollars training the Afghan army and equipping them. Since they all, some fought, most just laid down their arms. And obviously that equipment went to the Taliban. Part of this this investigation has to go to, I mean, how did this all come to pass? How did we stay so long with an army that was prepared to surrender instantaneously and equip them with so much sophisticated equipment that they would turn over to the Taliban?
I guess hindsight, it always makes things easier. But one of the questions that has been out there is, should we have stayed longer, meaning maybe we left too soon? But others have said we should have left a long time ago.
We could have stayed forever. It never would have come out better. Look, the die was cast. The world was with us after 9/11. We went in there to take out the Taliban and get Osama bin Laden. Then partway through the operation, with Osama bin Laden cornered in Tora Bora with all of al-Qaeda, Rumsfeld and Bush decided we should invade Iraq to get at non-existent weapons of mass destruction, pulled out U.S. military forces, depended upon warlords to get bin Laden. Bin Laden bribed them, and he got out, went to Pakistan. That was the one brief moment maybe we could have defied history in that country, which is called the graveyard of empires, the Brits, the Soviet Union. Otherwise, the die was cast. You can't nation build. That was an afterthought by Bush. Oh, let's nation build since we're there. It's just not going to work in a country that's locked, for the most part, in the 8th century and religious disputes and tribalism. And, we need to learn from these kind of mistakes. My brother, who's an intelligence officer career, said at the beginning, okay, you took out the Taliban, bin Laden's on the run. Just build a big monument in the square. Say, you messed with us. We came. We took you out. If you mess with us again, we'll come and take you out again and get out of there. That's what, we probably should have done.
Going to go a lot of different directions in our interview today. COVID-19, Douglas County has gotten more cases this month than all the prior months of the pandemic combined. And other areas in southern and central Oregon getting hit particularly hard. FEMA help coming in later this week. The National Guard already here, first time ever deployed to Mercy Medical Center. What are your thoughts about where things stand here, especially as it impacts the 4th District?
Well, Josephine County is also in my district, Douglas County, and then Jackson isn't in my district. And they are in the three of the top counties in the top 60 in the United States of America with explosive infections. It has to do with people refusing to get vaccinated. It has to do with people refusing to wear masks and socially distance. We're unbelievably stressing our healthcare providers. I mean, tragically, we had someone die at Mercy waiting to get into the ER. There's going to be more and more of that. People need to get vaccinated. It's fully approved. It's safe. Get vaccinated. And they need to wear masks. And that's what's causing the problem. And there's a lot of anti-maskers down here, including elected officials and in Josephine County and in Jackson County. And they are providing a disservice to the people of their counties.
Do you see more federal response coming in to help in this area?
Well, FEMA is sending in people and the National Guard is coming in. I was on with the Oregon Hospital Association and they asked me if there was a possibility of field hospitals. And I'm in touch with FEMA to find out if that's possible. But then we have to find people to staff the field hospitals. So that's that at this point, that's going to be one of the bigger problems. So we're working on that.
1 year anniversary of the Archie Creek fire and the other Oregon fires coming up. In fact, there's some FEMA staff in Glide today meeting with people. Talk about the long-term recovery effort. This is certainly a unique experience for this area, knowing that this is going to be a multi-year process to try to restore things.
Well, we had a lot of initial problems with FEMA and getting people's relief and housing and other things approved. I think we've worked through most of those. My staff, I've been contacted by anyone for a while who's having problems. We had to help a lot of people individually. But we've got huge problems here and up the McKenzie and then up Detroit, up to Santa Ym, that area. In terms of rebuilding wastewater systems, rebuilding water systems, people getting their houses rebuilt. And then also, we have to be more focused on dealing with fire risk. And that means getting into what they call the WUI, the Wild Urban Land Interface, and doing more thinning of our forests, restoring them back to health to better protect our communities in the future.
Now, private landowners and others have been working to clean up a lot of the fire damage. What about the federal lands? What do you know about what's going on there?
The feds have, started with the highest priority being roads access, threat trees. And again, we had some issues there. The BLM had an obsolete contract with FEMA written 30 years ago, because these are the only forest land BLM has in the United States. And it took us quite a while to arrange for funding for hazard tree removal on right away on BLM lands. We got that solved. And they're moving along with that. There's a lot of removal to be done yet. And there are some salvage plans in place, or they're working on salvage plans.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Congressman Peter DeFazio. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County at 1230. 4th District Congressman Peter DeFazio spending some time around the Roseburg area today and joining us from his office via phone. Talking about a lot of different things today. School year getting started. beginning today for many. A lot of shifts educators have had to make. Is the federal level providing adequate help to states and school districts in your district?
Oregon got an unbelievable amount of money from the federal government, actually more than I would have allocated directly to the state. So they ended up with a huge surplus. And that also included a separate $1.1 billion grant for education. So, no, Oregon is very, very, very well resourced, better resourced than it's ever been to deal with issues in schools, school class size. The federal government has delegated a lot of money directly to schools for their HVAC systems and things to make them safe. Now, that is one of the most generous programs the federal government ever put forward to deal with a problem. If I could, Kyle, you know, we're just talking before about fire recovery. Now, this isn't a problem up the Umpqua, but a big problem up the McKenzie and up the Saniam is to rebuild those communities. They need wastewater systems. And I was just visiting Orenco Systems here in Sutherland, and they have the solution for those communities. It's a fraction the cost of a traditional sewer system. I'm working with them to help get their systems adopted to help recover these communities at much less cost. So we're not sticking people who are already suffering because they lost their home, their insurance wasn't adequate, whatever, with big bills to connect to a fancy traditional gravity-fed sewer system. Orenco is a fraction of the cost. So a very, very interesting local facility.
And, you know, we have talked with them along the way and did an interview a few months back. It's amazing to see the impact that Orenco has had all over the place. Yet for a lot of people, it's sort of this hidden company that unless you're connected to it, a lot of people aren't all that aware of.
No, it's a gem. They're in the old Alcan building and the old Bayliner building. And they've been here for 40 years, but they started in a garage. But now they are internationally active and prominent. They're doing amazing state-of-the-art stuff.
Talk about, from the administration, the Build Back Better plan. Where do efforts stand at this point on that?
Well, it's still a work in progress, very much so. I mean, Build Back Better, you know, part of it was hard infrastructure, which is under the jurisdiction of my committee, roads, bridges, highways, transit, rail, water, wastewater. And part of it was the president's plan to help with social human infrastructure. That is a two-year free community college, which would be incredible for people here in Oregon and for people, who want to get into trades and other things, partnering with the unions to get these people into good paying jobs without having to go with all the debt and everything. Secondly, the lack of affordable childcare to help people with that. Right now, people are getting $300 payment per child per month. The Republicans made that temporary. The president wants to extend it. And then, of course, making prescription drugs less expensive is a key part of the Building Back Better plan. And I'm pushing my legislation I've had for years to make companies that develop drugs using taxpayer research to let the federal government had a program for decades to say, well, wait a minute, if this is all federal research and all you're doing is making the pills, you can't charge people $500 a pill. And the federal government used to be able to control that and say, okay, you're going to get a profit, but you're not going to make obscene profits like the industry does. So that's a key part of it, too. You know, the industry's out there saying, oh, my God, if we can't charge extortionate prices for drugs, three or four times the cost of a drug in Canada for the same drug, then we won't do research. Actually, they spend more money, much more money, on administration and benefits and dividends and all the other stuff than they do on research. So, no, they can still be very profitable, still be the most profitable industry in America, but get decent drug prices for all Americans. Stop the price gouging.
You mentioned infrastructure. Do you feel like continued investment there? Are we going to catch up? I mean, it seems like there's so many parts of American infrastructure, bridges, roads, both here in Oregon and elsewhere, that are ending, are nearing the end of their useful life.
Yep. We're basically living off the legacy of Dwight David Eisenhower from the last century. It's time to rebuild it, in ways that are more durable. We can now build 100-year bridges instead of 50-year bridges, rebuild it resilient to sea level rise, severe weather events, earthquakes here in the West, rebuild it with materials that are more climate friendly, and create one heck of a lot of jobs. I passed a great bill out of the House to both to do that and also to deal with fossil fuel pollution. The Senate, being the jerks they are, passed a bill that is nowhere near as good and won't get the job done, in my opinion. I'm working to try and fix it.
Do you feel like this part of Oregon, are we in worse shape here, or is what we're seeing here with infrastructure pretty much mirrored around the nation?
Now, unfortunately, I'm going to say we're in better shape here. So this doesn't necessarily mirror the rest of the nation. There are lots of parts of the nation that are even in worse shape. We're just, I helped get federal money for the Oakland Bridge, which is getting near done. We visited there last summer before they started. And my bill would have provided more funds to rural areas and bridges that are off the national highway system and those things. Again, those things were left out by the Senate, and I'm working to get them back in.
I'm guessing that during this recess, you've likely had less opportunity to interact with people in person with the COVID spike we're dealing with. But what kinds of issues are coming up in email and letters, maybe phone calls that you're getting?
Still a lot of ongoing concern about the pandemic. There have been a lot of correspondence about Build Back Better, the infrastructure plan. And over the last week or 10 days, a lot on Afghanistan and the problems with the withdrawal there. And then all just the usual things that we hear from folks. Cost of prescription drugs, we already mentioned that, other problems with the federal government, concern about fires. Again, I already addressed that in terms of we need to do a better job of getting ahead of the problem with fires and forest health with thinning and other active work in the forest. And that would also create a lot of jobs. So nothing extraordinary or different, just the same ongoing levels of concern. I did hold a teletown hall, and we had 5,400 people, dial into that. So that's more people, I think, than I've gotten to when I used to do 20 or 25 in-person town halls around the district in August.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. As Congress comes back in the fall, what is your focus, maybe particular legislation you're working on or things with the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee?
I already mentioned that there's this so-called reconciliation process, which is going to be the rest of the Biden American Jobs Plan, Build Back Better. And I'm also hoping to improve the infrastructure bill that came out of the Senate, written by a small group of people who really didn't know what they're doing. So I've got a lot of work to do. I'm very busy, constantly talking to the White House, the Senate, my colleagues in the House, and I'll be headed back to D.C. on the 12th of September, marking up a major bill on the 13th of September to hopefully get that process done before October 1st.
All right, a lot going on. Congressman Peter DeFazio, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Okay, thanks, Kyle. Always appreciate the opportunity.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.